الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program of this Islamic studies class is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the rites and the rituals, the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. While teaching you about the Islamic faith, I want to also encourage you to change your life and start doing what is right and forbidding what is wrong, even if you have, our faith or don't have our faith. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil or pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students to our class, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be the man known as Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. He was not abusive, and he did not encourage others to be abusive. The Quran says that the Prophet, and peace and blessings be upon him, was sent as a mercy to mankind. If we are to honor the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, it will be by adopting the sublime character of our Prophet and not through the emotions of anger and hate. This is what a Muslim is supposed to do and not supposed to do. They're supposed to emulate the way of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, his character, what he did and what he said, how he conducted himself between males, females, and the like, and not get all hooked up in our emotional or become angry and hateful. And that's how we want to respond to people angrily or hatefully. I saw also remind my students that the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, he taught the message of justice, peace, human rights, animal rights, and even environmental rights as ordained by Allah. And the one true creator of all that is in the heavens and all that is on the earth. Asimawati wa art. What is in the heavens and what is on the earth. He created everything. We as Muslims, we are told to only worship the creator and not the creation. Don't worship what Allah created. Worship the creator of the creation. We do not worship the sky, the moon, the sun, stars, night, day, we don't, a person, trees, animals, none of that do we worship. These are all creations of Allah. We only worship him and depend on him alone, who is the creator of all that we see and all that we don't see. Allah has shown us in the character of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may peace and blessings be upon him, the model of a compassionate person. He treated everyone, friends and foe, man and woman, young and old, with kindness and respect. Even when pagan Arabs reacted to the messenger of Allah or the Prophet, may peace be upon him, with extreme hate, he showed love and kindness. I'm beginning to that in a moment. So you have some following examples of him showing love and kindness towards others, particularly those who treated him wrongly, those who wanted to harm him, those who wanted to kill him. He treated them all very well and did not harm them. He never raised his hand against a woman, against a child, or against an animal. He was a man that was very kind towards others. Very, very kind towards and compassionate towards others. The story related, we're talking about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and that is Muhammad, peace be upon him, whenever he passed by this old lady's house, the story related to this incident mentions a neighbor of Muhammad that tried her best to irritate him by throwing garbage in his way every day. One day, when he walked out of his home, there was no garbage. This made the Prophet, may peace be upon him, inquire about the old lady, and he came to know that she was sick. The Prophet went to her to visit her and offer any assistance she might need. The old woman was extremely humble and at the same time ashamed of her actions. In light of the concern that the Prophet, may his peace and blessings be upon him, showed towards her. And so I just wanted to mention this particular incident, one of many incidents of the Prophet, peace be upon him, about this old lady. She was a neighbor. Walked down the street, throw trash in his way. One day the trash wasn't there. Then what happened? He didn't do nothing. Say, oh, good. There's not no trash there. I'm not worried about it. Maybe something bad happened to the lady. He did not say that. What he inquired about the lady, he found out she was sick, and he went to visit the lady. And she was very surprised by the compassion that he showed towards her, that she did not show kindness or compassion towards him. And so, matter of fact, I would like to go further. By this woman seeing the compassion that the Prophet showed her, an example of his compassion, she became convinced that Islam must be a true religion and that the Prophet was preaching. So we see from this is the kind of person that he was. A very kind person. There was a situation one time where a man had loaned some money for him to get some the armor that a person puts on, like the knights put on. And he wanted, like older man, the money for that to be paid the man, like say for example, next week. But he demanded the money now from the Prophet, may peace and blessing upon him. And so what happened is that he got really loud with the Prophet about give me the money now. I want the money now. And so the companions that were around the Prophet at the time, they really wanted to do something to this man who was very disrespectful to the Prophet. And the Prophet told him, no, don't do anything to him. He basically asked him, you know, do you have so-and-so that I give to the man? And they had what the Prophet asked about, inquired about, and they put it together, and they gave it to the man, and the man walked away. And so it was a very good example for the man, his responding positive to the man and kind towards the man, compassionate towards the man, and also any of his companions that were around him and saw that he did not get angry, but he was so compassionate. He was very compassionate, also showed kindness towards an individual that's very aggressive towards him. And so we see by this the kind of person that he was against when the lady who threw trash on him stopped throwing it. And he visited her, and a man who came to him demanded him payment for something that was due the following week. He wasn't due right then, right there, that week. It was due later on. But the Prophet said, okay, no problem. He went on and he organized and gave the man what was due to him, and that was it. And that was no more said about that. And that was an excellent example of how we as Muslims we're supposed to respond at situations. I'm not saying every Muslim that he or she does that or they do that. I'm not saying that at all. People may be expecting that from each and every one, but you may not get that response. You may end up getting another response, maybe unwelcome response. But the thing is, the response, an appropriate response we're supposed to get to people, like the prophet who found his way, is that it's the way he conducted himself. That's the way we are to conduct ourselves. And so we had another situation where in Taif, which is a town, I'll say you have the nearest town to where you live. He went to that town and he thought he might find people who might be respectable to the message of Almighty Allah. The people of Taif turned out to be as hateful as the people of Mecca, because the people of Mecca were very hateful towards him. They would throw garbage on him or the insides of a camel on his back while he's making prayer. Just for a man making prayer, they would be abusive towards him. His own uncle called him a liar. He don't trust him, don't believe him. So all the kind of things was going on. And that also during that time, he was boycotted. He and his companion were boycotted. People were selling things to them, doing things for them, and they would boycott them to the point where some of his companions, they would eat leaves and barks. They would eat all kinds of stuff and not, because there wasn't any food available, so they ate what they could find to try to nourish themselves. But that's what they were going through while they're in Mecca. And so he left there, Mecca, going to Taif, in hopes that he will find people that will be a little more compassionate than the hateful ones that were in Mecca. The elderly town, the elders of the town planned an organized campaign to ridicule the prophet. This disapproval, or their disapproval of the prophet, and prevented him from preaching Islam, they set a group of children and children behind him. They pestered him, threw stones at him, tried to forsake and wound him and wounded. He sought refuge in a nearby garden. It belonged to these individuals, two wealthy chiefs of the Quraysh, the tribe. And so what happened after that? The chiefs didn't necessarily help him, block him. We got you. We're going to take care of you. Make sure these people don't keep doing these things to you. They didn't do anything. But then it was further reported that the prophet took refuge of the stoning of the mob. He took the refuge in the garden of his people. And Angel Jibril came to the prophet and asked him if he so wished. Jibril will give the command to bury the city between two mountains. This particular city was like sandwiched between two large mountains. Mountain on the right of it, mountain on the left of it, and then you had a town in between. And so Jibril approached him after this. He approached the prophet, may peace be upon him. He said, look, you know, what do you want me to do? If you give me the word, I will bury these people under these mountains. Just give me the word. Maybe many of us would have gave the word to the angel. Yeah, go ahead, just destroy these people. This was the same angel that was involved in doing Sodom and Gomorrah, where the people during the time of Lot, when they were doing what they were doing, they were robbing people, hurting people, and they were having sex with men and that kind of men-on-men sex. And then the angels came and they wanted those handsome angels. They threatened to to have sex with these angels. And then, of course, Luke was very afraid. And he rushed and ushered them and tried to keep them out of the village. They came in, or the town, and went to his house. And then the people came to his house, and they wanted to try to get the angels, the handsome angels. And then Luke tried to convince them again, to tell the people, I'm sorry, the people this time, to leave the men alone. Go touch my daughters, which were your wives or the women of the village. And they basically said, I don't want them. And I said this to you all before, in another episode. We don't want them. We want your guests. They did not want the women. They prefer the men. And so what happened after that, we all pretty much know the story. The angel tell him to leave at a certain time, just take your family with you. One individual going to stay back, his wife. And so they left. And then she did stay back. And so Angel Bill, he blinded the people, because the people were going to come after them. They blind all of them. They had to feel their way along the wall in order to get back home. They said they put magic on us, magic on the us. We're going to be back in the morning. We're going to get them. And so, no problem. For the angels anyway. And so they gave Luke direction what he should do. And then what happened is the angel Jabril, same angel, and that he took his tip of his wing, tuck it underneath the town, the whole town. Can you imagine the town you're in? Angel Bill, they're not liking what you're doing, and tucking his wing, just as underneath his tip of his wing alone, taking your town up to the heaven, where the people inside the village can hear the angels praising Allah, and the angels in the sky in the heaven, they can hear the people hollering and shouting and crying. And then they bring them back down and flip the whole town over and smash it. And that happened several times, that same thing. And Allah also sent down brimstone, and on each, I guess it's like bricks, if you will, or clay. And on each clay or brick, it had the person name on it. It went directly to those individuals with their name on it. So I want to just emphasize to you all again, this is the same angel through the time of Luke he did to the people of Luke. And so it would have been easy for him to do the same thing during the time of Prophet Muhammad, and peace and blessings upon him, and just get rid of the people that had stoned him in the town of Taif. Give us the word, or give me the word, I will crash these mountains and bury these people. Just give me the word. But the Prophet, may peace and blessings upon him, very compassionate, very kind individual. So what did he do instead? Although the Prophet, he has suffered a great deal at the hands of these people, he replied that he did not wish destruction for the people of Taif, because maybe their offspring will proclaim the religion of truth. So this is what he said to the angel Jabril, basically lead the people alone, because they may end up being Muslim. And so lead them alone. And so he left them alone. He was very compassionate to the people, very kind to the people. These are people who abused him, like the lady earlier, old lady abused him. He was kind towards both the old lady and also the people in the town of Taif, and very merciful towards them. It wasn't abusive towards these individuals. And so I want to mention a few more things, and that is that when the Prophet, may peace be upon him, when he entered from Medina and went to Mecca. And so he went there 10,000 strong to Mecca. They had chased him out. I said it to you earlier. They have boycotted him. They did all kinds of things to abuse him and his followers. And they left out of Mecca and went to Medina. But then they came back after spreading Islam. They came back 10,000 strong to the town of Mecca. And when they got to Mecca, and what they did is that they did not harm one person in Mecca. They told basically telling the people that you are safe. You are safe from harm from us. Because they could have went in there and just took care of all the people in Mecca the way they treated him and the way they treated his companions. But he did not do that. Instead, he was very compassionate towards them and kind towards them and did not do anything towards these people. And this, again, this was the kind of person, the person that he was, and showing his kindness towards the people of Mecca who had abused him. And we as Muslims, we follow his way. He was kind towards people. We also are kind towards people and compassionate towards people. That is our way. We forbid what is wrong and encourage what is right or enjoy what is right. That is what we do. And conducting ourselves in the best of character, the best behavior, like the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, like he did when facing his adversaries and the ones who did wrong him, he did not wrong them. And so I want to mention one other thing to my beautiful students, and that is the Prophet Muhammad in his last khutbah, he said to the people, a khutbah was that, the final sermon, he encouraged, do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. Again, do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. And so he encouraged the men and the women too, because we're supposed to treat people kindly and treat people as we want to be treated. And our Muslims are safe from our hands and from our tongue and that kind of thing. And so he encouraged the men to treat the women well, and that they are your partners and they are committed helpers, and not to treat them in a bad way. So we do not have a license to hurt the women, because in some cases they may not have the same strength as a man, or weight or whatever as a man, and he may think that he could dominate her. But the thing is, that's not what we're supposed to do. We are protectors and maintainers of the women. For protect and maintain them for what we have from our means. Allah have blessed us with. And we don't go and treat them and don't treat them well. We are encouraged and told to treat them well. And they are our partners and our committed helpers. That's how we're supposed to treat the women and not abuse women. As I said earlier, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, that he did not strike a woman or raise his hand at a woman, nor a child or children, and nor an animal. He did not do that kind of thing. And we're supposed to follow suit and follow what he did and the way he did it. That's what we're supposed to do as Muslims, and we have to do as Muslims, because we, on the day of judgment, we have to go before Allah, and Allah may ask us, well, you know, I gave you youth, what do you do with it? With hands, what did he do with you? And our hands are going to speak freely, as I mentioned to you all before in one of my earlier episodes. The hands are going to freely say what you did with it. Ears, what you heard. Eyes, what you saw. Mouth, what you said. Feet, where you went. Okay, so they're going to tell on you. You have no control right now. We have control over our body for the most part. unless you have some kind of sickness or illness, but for the most part, you have control over your body. And so the thing is, when we go before Allah, naked and uncircumcised, then Allah is going to ask our body parts to speak and command us to speak, or command it to speak, and then it will speak. It will either speak for us, or they will speak speak against us. And that's easy for Allah to do. Because Allah, He made a man without a woman, or a man was Adam, and made a woman without a woman, without, with just a man and no woman, which was his wife Eve, and then made of course the child Jesus, without a man, and the woman was impregnated. Allah said, "Be pregnant," and she was pregnant, and Jesus was born. Everyone knows the story. I think none of us have any other, opinion or whatever, a story about the virgin birth of Jesus. It's just that we call him Prophet Jesus, and other people have other terminology that they use relating to Jesus. But I won't get into all that. That's not what this particular episode is about. I want to mention one other thing that also was said in the last sermon, and the prophet said in the last sermon to man, to the people. He said, all mankind is from Adam and Eve. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab, nor a non-Arab has any superiority over an Arab. Also a white has no superiority over black, nor a black has any superiority over white, except by piety and good actions. Learn that every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim, and that the Muslim constitutes one brotherhood. And so I just want to mention these things to you all, is that we are not even allowed as Muslims to hate each other, because our color is different, because we speak a different language, or we come from a different landmass. We're not supposed to not like each other or think that we're superior over the other person. This is not something that we're supposed to do as Muslims. We're supposed to do the opposite of this. And that is be pious and have good actions. That is what a Muslim is supposed to be about. That makes us, make me more superior, whatever, is that my piety, my level of piety, and also my deeds or my good action, and nothing more than that. The color of my skin, my hair texture, the land I come from, it means absolutely nothing in the eyes of Allah. But how pious I am, and also the good action, That's what Allah looks at. And I don't hate and abuse a person because of the color of their skin, or because they come to a particular region, or because they look different from me. I don't abuse them. And the prophet encouraged us not to be abusive like that, and that an Arab not over a non-Arab, and a non-Arab not over an Arab, and a black not over a white, and a white not over a black. And the thing that makes us different and over the other is piety and good action. And meaning, of course, also, I don't hate you because you're white, and you don't hate me because I'm black, or anything like that. We don't, and that's not what we're supposed to do, and not, it's not part of our makeup. And so, my beautiful students, please follow the way of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and that he was not an abusive person, and not abusive to anyone, regardless of if they were Muslim, non-Muslim, black, white, old, young, male, female. It did not matter. He was very kind and generous and very nice towards individuals, and not abusive. And we are not to be abusive, and be kind and generous and pious, and also have good actions. You have been listening to or attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.